Hello and welcome to another episode of the FPL Hangover Podcast, where we raise the bar and lower the tone on things FPL related. We are coming to you on the 19th of September. Game week 6 is done. And just like every game week back after an international break, all we want is an absolute nightmare. Here tonight to help me make some sense of it all, give me a bit of cheering up, my podcast partner in crime, Paddy. How are you getting on, my friend?
Not too bad, Jer. Hello to everybody who is listening this evening or who are listening on their commute to work and are feeling a wee bit depressed and down about their game week. But I want to quote a famous FPL manager. He goes by the name of FPL Hibbo, and he says, "No good FPL manager has not been in the trenches before."
Is that a direct quote? You seem like you
kind of fucked it up.
I don't know what the quote is, so, but I'm just saying you look like you might have misquoted him there.
I probably did.
Instantly checking your notes. Oh, what have I said? You also feeling down in the dumps then, Paddy? If you've got motivational posters on your wall?
I am feeling a little bit down in the dumps, Jer, but, you know, it was a good week to have a bad week.
Yeah, well, that's the cliche, isn't it? That's the FPL cliche. And yeah, you're not wrong. You're probably still kind of suffering the effects of a weekend away in, was it Lanzarote?
Yeah, I'm just back yesterday and I'm feeling a bit worse for wear, but I'm ready to blow away the cobwebs here and whatever else needs to get them blowing. And I'm ready to... Ready just to get in here and do this podcast and come out the other end feeling like a better manager for it. And you know what? I didn't do Hibbo any justice, so I want to say it again. He says, "You aren't a real FPL player until you've been in the trenches." So there you go. That's what he said.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that does sound much better than the absolute slander that you attributed to him. But no, wise words. Tell me. How did your game week go? I know before you go into it, you did like say, you know, before we hit record, look, I have a lot of shit to get off my mind this week. We want to save it for the show because I need to work it out, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. You probably want to save that for later on. But We do have the usual talking points. We've got a mini league update. You've got all the details there. We're going to hit all those as we go on, but first we're going to do a review. So tell me.
Right, well, it's grim. 34 points. And thanks for reminding me about this as well, Jer. I've got a game week rank of 8.6 million out of 9 million managers. Would that be correct?
9.6 million.
Yeah, so like I've done terrible. My only saving grace was Gabriel, 5 for Arsenal.
Which must be sweet justice. I mean, if I'm trying to look at positives justice this week, you must be loving it.
Yeah, that was sweet, sweet justice. And, of course, Saka, 6 points. And then I captained Haaland, where a lot of people, some people would have made that that risque move and went to Son and decided to captain him as well. I didn't go for some myself. The FOMO didn't hit me like some people.
Well, you had Madison.
Yeah, so I didn't need to go some. Remember I was saying last week I wouldn't do it. But Chilwell then, 0-pointer, Turner, 2 points. You know, my midfield looks great. My team looks great. I'm going to go into full rant nearly, but I'm going to hold back. Like Sterling, Fernandes, Foden, Madison, and Saka. And like only for Saka. 6 points in that midfield. Everyone else was shite. Nicholas Jackson, 1. And then my bench, I had Joao Pedro, 7, which was never coming on. So, yeah, a terrible week.
Well, he was coming on until Chilwell played the last 10, 15 minutes. And
he
got
wouldn't
hurt.
Have came on for me.
Oh, you're right. My apologies. He only had the 3 defenders at the
back. Yeah, I was quite happy for Chilwell to come on and, you know, because there
same
was
here.
So many fucking points getting blocked by that move. So that was good.
He got a yellow and then got 0 points, so it was pointless.
Yeah, I know. But at least people didn't get all these other managers they had benched on. Jer, over to you. How did you get on?
Not too dissimilar. I did beat you again this week, Petty. 1 point in the difference, 35 over here.
You must be catching me.
I doubt it. I have another red arrow. I'm actually going to touch on the same thing you touched on with the 8.6, because I, you know, being a point less, the game week rank was pretty much similar, 8.6 million. And again, I try not to focus too much, but I think it's kind of, I don't know, someone mentioned it in a group chat, and it got me thinking about it, and I ended up just checking it out this week. And I was shocked that it was so low. I mean, you didn't seem shocked when I asked you off air, but like, anyone I looked around at, like, it was a shit week, right? 35 points, but the average was only 44. And I mean, I didn't see a lot of managers with the exception of maybe anyone on Salah, I didn't see a lot of managers with anything to write home about, you know? So I was shocked to see it so low, but I guess maybe it was a very dense week, again, looking for the positives.
Yeah, I even tweeted out, like, I was just, like, I was on holidays, I've been drinking all week. I was thinking, you know, why are my points so, like, why have I got such a red arrow, and like, surely my team's a bit template, like. And then a few people were messaging, like, of course Salah getting the big haul and Alvarez, like, those two players alone totally killed the ranks, like. I can't think of anyone else other than those two players that hit me with, done the damage to my rank, because most of the other ones are template enough.
No, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I mean, Salah's only 27% owned in the game. And I mean, it's still early days in the season, so I'm happy to use those figures as a reference. And like, that's only one in just over one in four teams. Do you know what I mean? So like, but you're right. I mean, anyone with the double up, Alvarez and Salah, they were laughing. I think I saw, maybe it was Max Hutterins or something like that had that. And I mean, it's not a out there kind of move. I mean, lots of people have jumped on the Alvarez train, and he's one we're going to have to talk about, I suppose, as we go into it. But yeah, 35 points. Did you make any moves last week, Petty?
No, I didn't. That was my only kind of saving grace maybe going into this week, because the moves that I would have made would probably have been, you know, I would have jumped on Son, and if I had jumped on Son, I'd have been captain in Son. Do you know, that kind of way, I would have been like pushing my chips all in. I was like, because that was the only reason I would probably bring Son in, and then I would throw the captain on him. So I've got two free transfers going into game week 6, which will probably make an interesting talking point later on, because I have a couple of ideas, but we'll need to talk about them, JR, because there's a couple other ideas as well where I might just burn the transfer.
Okay, well, that won't be happening. I can promise you, you'll never sit in that chair again. A transfer. Let's head on over so and kind of get in. No, before we do, actually, Petty, you meant to ask me about my transfers, you dickhead.
How did your transfers go, Jer?
Because you kind of threw a dig at people who brought Son in and didn't captain him. Did you know that I got brought Son in last week?
I didn't make a dig that they didn't captain him. I made a dig that some people had jumped on the FOMO train.
Yeah, well, so there was a dig in there somewhere.
A dig in there. There was a lot of content creators I saw out there on the X that were like, you know, content with their teams, and then, you know, they were just moving, they were banking their transfer, and then in the last fucking couple of hours, everyone was bringing Son in, and some were even captaining him, and I was like,
I'm going to call bullshit on that right there. If you want to name and shame?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't want to name and shame anybody anymore.
You got in trouble. You've learned your lesson, I take it then. Well, I'm going to say that I'm pretty in tune with fucking content creators, and I didn't see a whole host of them suddenly knee-jerking Son into their team. Unless they, you know, didn't. There was a few, but I think anyone that decided to go Rashford to Son, which would have been pretty easy to do. Like, that was a completely understandable move.
No, the reason I can't name and shame is because I actually can't remember any of them, but I remember seeing on my fucking timeline a lot of Son people. Oh, Son's in, Son's in.
I'm sensing some bitterness over here from you, and you're looking at the Twitter timeline, you're going, I don't have Son, so fuck all these haters, and that's all you're seeing.
Maybe. But no, there was a lot of people that jumped on Son.
Yeah, I was one of them.
Yeah, I know.
and I didn't captain him.
I don't care about the captaincy on him. I mean, there was a lot of people that had the FOMO and brought Son, and it was a good fixture. Can't blame anyone. I was happy I had Madison. I sat back. But I did have a bit of FOMO as well. I was like, oh, my God. And the captain him, and I thought, Jesus, that's the move of the week. I said, this is I was like, this is the move where, you know, I was looking at this and I was thinking, I'm being left behind here. You know, this is one of those moments in the season where all these guys have gone and brought Son in, captained him, and boom. Okay. And fuck all materialized out of it.
It did, and I think that you're going to lead us right on over to talking points. Before I go over, my two transfers last week, I went a bit mad, Petty.
I
had two frees, and I basically, I would say in some kind of maybe, frustrated at my team. Another injury picked up this week in terms of my defense. So that's now Stones, Gabriel, Shaw and Henry that have just been in the first six game weeks, picking up season, or at least, you know, take them out of your FPL ending kind of injuries. And I got rid of, I guess I was on a little bit on tilt, and I got rid of Mitoma, who, you know, could have easily punished me. He was Brighton ripped United apart. And I got rid of Martinelli, who looks like I saved myself from another bloody injury based on... now that's just speculation. I haven't actually looked into if he went off. But he went off after, 30 minutes or something like that? So I got rid of Gabriel Mitoma and I brought in Son and Andreas for Fulham. And my logic there is I wanted to take a punt on the Luton fixture. They've got one or two okay fixtures between now and game week 8, which is when I'll wildcard. And I'll be able to deal with having the likes of that in my team. So I basically took a swing at that Luton fixture for Fulham and hoped that they're, you know, he'd be on the end of Epoxy Hall. Yeah. And it didn't pay off, but basically Sunta and Boomer this week and wildcard on the agenda. But that's my logic. I've gone mad, Petty.
It was really out there for you. Like, I mean, I have to say I seen it and I was like, whoa, he's gone there. And it was just a crazy week. It was a freak week. I mean, any other week, things would have happened. But that's FPL. I seen someone else say as well, there couldn't be a more FPL game week than game week 5.
It was very FPL. It was very FPL. Yeah, yeah. Good point. And speaking of points, talking points. First up, Erling Haaland. Captainers. Unlucky. That seems to be the general gist. Did you happen to catch any of the highlights on your, you know, exploits over in Spain?
I did. I caught a lot of matches, but I just can't really remember everything here. I don't think I got to see the City game. I watched the Liverpool game and I watched the United game, and then other games were just like on. But tell me what happened with Haaland. It looked like he wasn't going to score for a while. Was that the way it was? And then he got his goal in the end?
No, that is not it.
It's completely the opposite.
Yeah, it is. It's a weird one. It's one of those kind of, if you weren't
watching.
And again, I didn't watch it because it wasn't on TV. I was watching United match. I just kind of caught the highlights, but I did catch a couple of shows on Sunday and Monday. And yeah, you end up looking at the stats and stuff. And yeah, basically, my impression after watching the match was like, oh, Son blanked and Haaland got his obligatory goal. And then it turns out that, no, Haaland was very unlucky not to get a shit ton of goals in the sense of big chances. Oh, yeah, man, I watched the match today and afterwards, and he had, some crazy big chances that, just either the keeper saved him or, you know, just hit him wide. It was good because, for me, I was kind of like, West Ham away, you know. Yeah. I said someone who brought Son in, and I totally sighed because I obviously didn't captain Son, but I completely understand anyone that did take a punt on a Son and on a Madison, even like a plum fixture, team flying in form against a robot, you know, away to a team who are also doing pretty decent. Do you know what I mean? So it's like the potential for a close match is there, and you would have expected Spurs to absolutely demolish Sheffield United.
100%.
So people that made that decision, I have no issue with it. And as I said, there's a lot of, you know yourself, the social media, you see a lot of people going, and that's why, you know, your show is Captain Holland, and this just proves it, especially the fact that he did have so many missed chances and his stats were so good. It's like, you got lucky this week. That's the narrative. Like, oh, you guys who captained Son and Madison, you got lucky because Haaland should have had a hat-trick. And I'm like, well, no. I mean, that's the aim of it. Like, they were right to take a swing at that fixture if they wanted to.
Yes.
And, my hat's off.
Yeah, I mean, the ceiling was higher for the Spurs game. Like, I was looking at that West Ham game and I thought it's going to be a closer game. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think Haaland has a ceiling. I think that's what I've learned from this week. I'm just completely being a hypocrite, but I'm like, Haaland could go fucking nuts in any game.
Yeah, any game.
But yeah, that's the big one. But you did mention Alvarez, who what was it, 9 points, something like that? Is he on your mind? I mean, you're sitting there with João Pedro.
Yeah, well, Pep's kind of basically said that he's untouchable at the moment. And
Pep's always loved him.
Yeah, there's Champions League on tonight, isn't there?
There is.
So I'm going to be monitoring that. I would love to see him coming off the bench maybe for half an hour, but we'll probably know that before the pod's out.
What about if I told you he was starting?
Oh, well, hopefully he comes off after an hour.
Yeah, City put out pretty much a full strength squad.
Is Bernardo Silva playing?
Silva's playing, Alvarez is playing, Foden, Haaland, and then the usual suspects pretty much at the back. No Guardiola, he's on the bench, which I'm actually, as a Guardiola owner in the league, I'm pretty happy, because surely that means he's more likely to start in the Premier League. And I'm sweating it because I'm fucking down to my bare bones team-wise at the moment. Yeah. But we'll talk about that in the kind of preview of game week 6. But yeah, Alvarez, man, like, as a João Pedro owner, you have to be looking at him. Even if he plays tonight and, you know, comes off unscathed.
Yeah, I am thinking about Alvarez. I'm also thinking about Mbeumo. Mbeumo's down as a midfielder, though, yes. But
it's that João Pedro thing I'm looking at on your team.
Yeah,
João Pedro. I'm jealous of it. I'm jealous of it.
Yeah, but there's also Nicholas Jackson problem there as well. That could become an Alvarez. You know, there's lots of things going on. We are on talking points here.
Yeah.
And Chelsea, we may as well we can merge these two, because Chelsea are also a talking points here. You know, 100%. These assets that we brought in for this beautiful run of fixtures. I'm half-minded to just stay on the original plan. Do you know what I mean? Maybe get rid of one.
What is the original plan? Well, just in general, like broad term.
I brought in these Chelsea players because they had a nice run of fixtures. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the fixtures are still nice, but the team isn't performing. You know, it's not there. Like, so they have Villa next, right? So that's going to be a tough match, right?
Home to Villa, yeah.
Yeah, but after that, they have Fulham and Burnley. You know, those are two nice fixtures. So I'd be thinking, like, maybe keep Sterling, because I think he's their best player on the team from what I've seen and the stats. And, like, Chilwell is, like, I mean, this is a problem because he's on 0 points. He's not playing full games, but I think...
Okay, so let's just break this down bit by bit, because you're jumping through him, right? Chilwell. What's your thoughts on that situation?
Chilwell could leave the team.
What do you think of what's actually happened? Like, what's making you think that?
Well, there he's playing Mudryk up on the left-hand side instead of Chilwell. And Mudryk, I know people slaughtered him and stuff, but he didn't actually have a bad game. But I think there's going to be a bit of rotation there with Chilwell and Mudryk, and I don't want to have a rotational player in my team. So that... Do you know, we could actually just we could end this whole pod right now. We could just say... Get rid of all your Chelsea and Manchester United assets, and that's it. Good luck.
Yeah, it would. There we go. 19 we go. Minutes. Thanks for folks.
See you later.
Like and subscribe. You know the usuals. Recommend it to your friends. Right. Yeah, yeah. No, I don't think it's as simple as that, because, like, obviously, you know, you're just taking the piss, and I get that. But Chilwell, I think he's definitely one to monitor, and. I guess everything is kind of boiling down to, like, maybe I'm oversimplifying this, or I'm looking at FPL through my own lens right now. Mm-hmm. But like, I feel like it's boiling down to when you plan to use that first wildcard. And now this conversation is different for managers who, you know, depending on how they've started off. Because, I mean, if you've had a great start to the season, you're probably the furthest thing from your mind is maybe a wild card, because you're happy, you know. And then obviously the worse your season has been, the more likely you are to look for some kind of quick fix. So, you know, but it feels like that's in the air right now. Yeah. When you look at the potential for game week 8, game week 9 and game week 10, and the managers that will be taking a swing at the end of that Chelsea fixture. So for you, Paddy, and you're looking at your three Chelsea players, I think even though you've had a pretty decent start to the season, like I don't really care for overall rank right now or anything like that, but you know, you haven't been fucking fuming. You've had a couple of decent weeks. Yeah. You've been on top of players. Your team's always been in a good shape. I call that a good start.
I'm not in crisis mode yet.
Yeah, and you're nowhere near crisis mode. Like, that's the thing.
Like, if I was to look at my team, right? If I was to wildcard, there's no players out there that. I'm looking at my team and I'm thinking, I've got a really good team. I still think, I look at my team, I think that's a really good team. That's a team that could fucking score me 70 points next week or whatever. Like, there's a couple of fires there, obviously. Onana, Baldock there now as well. And maybe João Pedro, you know, and Jackson, some of the Chelsea players. But at the minute, the Chelsea players, I'm kind of okay with. I'm not just going to rush out and get rid of them because of, you know, of the last two games. I will get rid of one of them. I'll probably get rid of Jackson for Alvarez, and that could be my transfer. And then I'll roll that transfer one more time.
Yeah.
And see what happens, because we also have that little double coming up in game week 7 where I'll be looking then to bring in maybe a Luton player too. So like, I'm not going to go nuts, batshit crazy, and start just dismantling the team or wildcarding. I'm probably going to like hold the wild card maybe up till game week 8 or 9. You know.
Okay. Well, I would say that's pretty much the gist of anyone wild card at the moment is game week 8 or 9. I mean, you had a lot of people that hit it after the international break. I think the break brings it out of people, and it's a perfectly reasonable time to do it. And obviously, there's a contingent of managers who want to hold it long term, and maybe use it towards the end of the first half of the season. And I get that. But I mean, if I'm looking at your team here, and this goes to any manager who, any FPL player who's in a similar situation, chill. Like, you've got 3 Chelsea, you've got 2 City, you've got 2 Arsenal, and 2 Brighton. That's obviously a massive, and you've got 2 United. That's a massive percentage of your team. You've also got an injured player and a Luton 4.0. Like, that whole thing to me, with the exception of Madison and maybe Fernandez, screams wildcard in 8 or 9 in that period.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, and if you make your mind up now, and again, this is for anyone listening that's in a similar situation, I'm not too far away from it myself. If that's the case and you make your mind up now, then your transfers are, you know, in the next couple of weeks can be so focused. Like, you know, they don't have to worry about the long term. It just has to be a short term plan, and make sure you have that short term plan.
Yeah.
If you decide, if you look at yourself now and you're going, because then all of a sudden maybe Nick Jackson to Alvarez isn't a crazy decision, because you can hop off all of them on your wildcard, or, you know, maybe 2 of them, because I'm looking at Foden as well, that you'd have a three-pronged City, little things like that, you know. You can make those kind of rapid decisions and then not worry about it.
Exactly. And I've got money in the bank. I've 1.8 in the bank, so I could even keep Nicholas Jackson, go Hal Pedro to Alvarez, and then still ride out the Chelsea fixtures as well. We haven't even, like, you know, spoke on, there's managers out there that have the double United as well. It's another talking points. You know, they have the Rashford and Bruno.
What do you think of that?
I think that that's been like a roller coaster. Bruno looked like the better player. Now all of a sudden, it's Rashford looks like the one to hold instead. Like, if I was,
but as a United fan and seeing how shit they've been over the last couple of, since the start of the season, like, how do you feel about holding 2 midfield slots in which United now?
I would just be wanting the one anyway. That's what I'm saying. Like, that out of the 2 of them, I would be keeping Rashford over Bruno, you know.
But you definitely wouldn't recommend 2, because I have 2, and that's why I'm asking.
No, I wouldn't be recommending 2 anyway. I wouldn't be recommending 2.
And if you already had them, Would you be saying, like, jump off?
I would jump off one, yeah.
Okay, because I mean, I'm looking at their fixtures here, and, like, I mean, obviously, as I said, I'm considering, because I have the two, and, you know, I'm one of those managers that, like, I'm, like, you know, wondering what the fuck to do with them. And they have away to Burnley, at home to Crystal Palace, and then Brentford at home. Sheffield United at home. Like, really nice fixtures, I would say, for the next four games.
It's kind of like me with Chelsea, then.
Yeah, well, I mean, to a degree. Chelsea, kind of similar. Like, I would say that the Uniteds are actually nicer than Chelsea's. Like, at home to Villa, that'll be tough. And then away to Fulham, I think that'll be tough as well. And, you know, tougher than, at home to Burnley and away to Burnley. You know, you get me. So if you have the two United assets, and you're especially like myself, you're taking a wild card in a couple of game weeks when, you know, certain teams kind of switch over, would you not just stick through that?
Those but you could stick through it, and then you could sell them for Salah, because, I mean, that's the way we are. All that's the direction we're heading. Like, we're going, looks like we'll be going for the Salah. Salah's fixtures become good, I think, after game week 8 or game week 9.
Yeah, 9.
People are starting to jump on him already. I had him, jumped off him.
You had him at the start of the season?
I think I did, yeah.
What?
I think I started with him. I had him. Maybe I'm.
We're gonna need to get a fact checker in this room.
Yeah, I think I had him.
Oh, that's what the fuck are you jumping off him? You did. You had him in two. You captained him in two.
Yeah.
And you actually won that one, because Halen only got a two-pointer. Why the fuck did you jump off him for?
Because I wanted Foden and Sterling and Chelsea assets.
Like, you went Sterling. You jumped off Salah for Sterling.
I got 16 points.
Here's me giving you credit. Oh, you're a joke.
I got 16 points for Sterling that week.
19.
Yeah, yeah. But here's another one as well, right?
But how many has fucking Salah got since?
I know. I'm starting to think maybe to jump off Madison.
See, that's what I mean about the short-term planning. And that's why I think it's kind of an interesting period in FPL at the moment, because if you are wildcarding, and again, I don't know, it depends how much you give a shit about value and stuff like that, like money, I don't really care about it too much. But like, if you were wildcarding and you knew you could come back onto the Spurs assets, whether it's Son or Madison, then the next two... I'm not going to be worried about getting rid of him. Like, it's two tough fixtures.
They're tough fixtures, don't they?
They do. Like, I mean, the next two for Spurs are away to Arsenal, obviously, this weekend, and then at home to Liverpool. So two tough fixtures, really tough. So I'd have no fear of... I won't own any Spurs assets in game week 6. I got Son in this week for the one-time punt, and I'm going to turn him into Mbeumo. Spoiler alert for Game Week 6 preview, but so I have no issue going into the next two game weeks with no Spurs.
Yeah, because I'm actually thinking, I like, this was another one of my thoughts, I would get rid of Madison and Nicholas Jackson and bring in Mbeumo and Alvarez, but now I'm actually thinking I might get rid of Madison and Hal Pedro, because I think I can afford to bring in Mbeumo and Alvarez with that money, and then I'm still riding out the Chelsea train, but I still feel like I'm covered, you know.
Yeah, well, still have Sterling and Jackson.
Yeah, and like, if they do anything like that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you are right now. Just
and then, like, I'm having a Mbeumo instead of Madison sounds pretty good right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, like, again, I'd make up your mind. I would also be careful about your formations in the sense of, like, who are you going to bench? Because your team, as I said, is pretty strong. So, you know, you might, if you have three strikers, you mightn't be able to comfortably play three. 4-3, you might play 3-5-3.
That's actually a part of my team I'm having a problem with, because at the moment I'm only playing three defenders, and they're Gabriel, Chilwell, and Stupinen. And I had to bench Stupinen last week. Well,
you won't be benching him this week.
No, I won't. No. So, I mean, that will work this week, my 3-5-2 or 3-5-3.
Yeah, but it might work the week after. That's what I'm saying. Especially if you want to play Morris and stuff, you might be benching somebody you don't want to bench. And if that's the case, I wouldn't waste a transfer on it. But it is like a week where I think a lot of FPL managers, unless you've already played your wild card, but a lot of FPL managers would want to maybe sit down and have a quick kind of look at things. It's a weird one. It's been a weird start to the season. Maybe it's just me, as I said, but I feel like there's a general malaise going around. There's no template, really, as far as I'm concerned.
No.
Like, there is and there isn't. You know, there's really good options out there, but like your team is what I would say is pretty much template, but you were on it before the template. Do you know that kind of way? It was a weird turn of events. And then I even looking at your team now, I'm going, like, as you said, like Madison, I'm like, long term, I wouldn't mind a Madison, but two shitty fixtures. Chelsea still have decent, you know, upcoming fixtures. Foden is always a shout because it's Man City. Do you know what I mean? There's like plenty of options. So yeah, have a think about it. Other talking points this week: Watkins. I mean, this is more of a kind of an episode or two down the line. I feel like we're going to have to really visit Villa because Villa's fixtures take a turn, and again,
a dark turn, like.
No, the opposite, a lovely turn. And again, in line with the potential wild cards in 8, 9 and 10. Yeah, Villa's fixtures, as I said, they've got away to Chelsea this week. Obviously, at Stamford Bridge is also going to be a bit tough. I think it's then at home to Brighton or Brentford. And then, yeah, then it turns gold, man. Brighton, Chelsea, next two. Whatever. Away to Wolves, home to West Ham, home to Luton, away to Forest, home to Fulham. So yeah, it's really game week 9 is when Villa kind of become really appealing. And as a Watkins owner here, I'm kind of like in the similar situation as you in Chelsea, in the sense that like I might as well, I've held on to him this long. He's actually delivered, like.
Yeah, he's ticking away.
He's ticking away. I think he blanked last week, but
he's just not ticking away to the potential of his price point.
Yeah, he's just got no fucking goals. He's got 4 assists in 5 game weeks, but no goals. If he did have a goal,
yeah,
I don't, like, you'd be laughing. Do you know what I mean? He'd be above what you would have expected in terms of like the average points that for that game week. But as I said, their fixtures are fine. I don't know if I'll have him wildcarding because you have the likes of a Diaby there for Villa. But if you've got him in your team now, like, I'm happy to.
He's the eighth highest scoring striker in the game, you know. So
that's what I'm saying. Like, so if he did have a few fucking, like, one goal, even,
yeah,
on top of all those assists, like,
that would be, yeah,
he'd be up there with the best strikers. So you wouldn't care, you know.
Well, he is going to get his goal, so you know. But they are coming. Yeah.
They ain't coming from fucking penalties though, and that's that's an issue for me. I don't know why.
Yeah, but maybe in that Villa team, would you say that Diaby would be the best player to own on the Villa team now? Say if you were wild card, would you take Diaby over Watkins for your Villa cover?
Yeah, see, that'll be a big question for me, particularly, obviously, to jump off Watkins. I think right now
at 6.6 million as well, like,
yeah, right now I probably would, but I would then end up, it would be a 3-5-2 formation. Like, I'd be playing 5 midfielders every week.
Oh, yeah. Formation changer.
Yeah, which I'm set for that formation anyway. I mean, I fucked it up, but I chose to kind of loosen the reins a little bit when I got Andreas in because he's only a 5.5. But, like, I'm happy with, like, I think 5 midfielders seems to be the way to go so far this season. The question is, can you get a good 3-5-2 if you also want Salah? So that's something, again, you know, it'll be talked about over the next few weeks.
Sacrifices will be made in the formations when we bring in Salah. It'll be,
that's the thing.
You'll be going to like a 4-4-2 or a, you know.
Well, that's maybe why you end up with the likes of a Diaby and then turning the Watkins into the likes of an Alvarez.
Yeah.
But you know what? Before all that has to be considered, we've got a double game week. We've got Luton to load up on and
poison our
teams with a five-point-five million striker.
I'll be going for that double because, you know what? Why not?
You're set for it, man.
I'm sure I can just wildcard. I've already got Kabore, and I'll bring in the striker for that day or whatever, and I'll bring in a midfielder maybe. I'm not going near Burnley. I've decided.
I think, why not? I mean, like, you've already kind of leaning towards Luton anyway. You've got Kabore there, so I suppose that's one reason. But I don't know. I mean, I think if it wasn't for, was it, did Lyle Foster get a red card last night?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And I think if it wasn't for that, he would have been a serious contender.
Yeah.
Because he's I think he got an attack and return as well. So I'm like, that's a 3-3 now. But yeah, I'm with you. The double is better for Luton. And you've got the 2 Luton. I think that's plenty. I don't even feel like I want Kabore. But, you know, looking ahead, I've got a lot of injuries in the back now with the likes of Henry picking up a season-ending injury. So I'm going to have to maybe think about the short term a little bit before a wild card, and maybe Kabora comes into my thinking. I don't know, maybe a Bell. We'll see. But that's game week 6. Have we anything to talk about before we head off of game week 5? I think we're finished.
I know. I think we've got that pretty much wrapped up, the game week 6 stuff and all there, and the talking pints. I think we've gotten through the talking pints. You know, there's unless you've got anything else you need to add to it.
No, but if we're finished with that, you can probably guess what time it is then, Petty.
Oh, is it mini league time?
You're damn right, it's mini league time. So tell me, how is the top looking?
Right, let's just have a look here, huh? Well, we have a new leader, Jer. We have a new leader, and that man is Peter Scullion. I was speaking about Peter Scullion a couple of weeks back. He's always there or thereabouts. And he's obviously been listening to the podcast because he's gone to the top of the league listening to us.
Absolutely smashed.
No other way. So he's taken the top spot off Paulo Castro, our manager of the month for August. And as I just said, the manager of the month, that is a good segue to say that this mini league is sponsored by Kinniger Brewing. I'm sitting here myself sipping on a beautiful TRO coffee stout. That TRO is a taproom only, which means you can only order that one online. So check out KinnegerBrewing.com if you would like to try some of those beers. What one are you having over there, JR?
I like the Thumper. I mean, it's not my first time blasting one of these back on the show. Yeah. I love that shit.
What percentage is yours?
7.8.
Mine's is 8% here tonight. So there you go. We're two hardy boys. So yeah, well done, Peter Scullion. Peter is in first, Paul Castro second, Sean McGing in third, Fergal Casey, a man over the road from me, is in fourth, Dan McManus fifth, Tony Iverson sixth, man from the Twitter community himself, Shane Drummond, Peter Dobson in eighth, Philip O'Donoghue in ninth, and Marius Sandmo in tenth. So congratulations again to Peter Scullion. And now I want to give our manager of the week a shout out, and that is Peter Scullion. Well done, Peter Scullion, with 65 points and a game week average of 44. Peter pulls it out of the bag.
Befitting for someone at the top of the hill, king of the hill up there.
Yeah, king of the hill. Peter, he's just not the king of our hill. He's also 2,500th in the world at the moment. That's the kind of pedigree. Yeah, that's the kind of pedigree we have here in our leagues. Special mention goes to Frank Fallon. What up, Frank? Frank's got 60 points this week. Well done. And Philip O'Donoghue, 58. Simon Duddy, 58. Abel Grant, 58. Nick Scott, 58. And Keelan Ward, 58. Lots of 58s there. We'll go now to the walk of shame, Jared. The absolute walk of shame. The disgusting managers that the casuals, maybe they're just unlucky.
The C-words.
The C-words. The dirty C's. So first up is Muhibul Islam, 15 points.
Oof.
What needs to go wrong there to get 15 points? I'm going to be diving into that team later to have a laugh. oh my God, friend of the show and FPLX community member, Richard Everson, FPL dad, yes. 17 skittery points. What absolute disaster.
21 and a minus 4. I saw that.
Oh my God. Oh, Jesus, Rich. Oh, I'm in shock. Oh, my God, Richard. Anyway, we'll know. Chris Howarth, 22 points. Owen Doyle, 24 points. David Collin, 24 points. Stefan de Jong, 25 points. Heather Hamilton, 25 points. Matthew Studer, 25 points. And Charlie Bennett, 26 points. Absolute shame on you, lads. That's ridiculous. You know, I'd be getting sick. I'd just delete the game. Let's see. Let's just see something else here. Richard Everson is like 5 million in the world as well. Stanking. Absolutely. I thought he was a good manager.
We don't endorse overall rank yet, Paddy.
Okay. So
if that was the case, we'd all have to feel bad.
Bench wanker. How many points would you say would hurt this week on the bench?
Well, there wasn't a fucking lot of points this week. So I'm guessing, I don't know, 19.
18. And that is Richard McKenzie. Imagine having 18 points on your bench.
Who was it?
Richard McKenzie and Natalie Vallad, both with 18 points. Michael Coyle with 17. Brian Kevin with 17. Fergal Callum 16. Lots of big points on the benches there. So there was disgusting. Anyway, let's go to the transfer genius. And the transfer genius this week, wow, is Keith Shields. A friend of
Robertson?
Mine.
Robertson?
Keith Shields is a friend of mine in real life. I can't believe this. He's on the pod. He's getting a shout out. He made two transfers. Wissa to Alvarez and a Stupinen to Cash. And he netted himself 9 points there, Jared. 9 points. So well done, Keith. Lots of managers on 9. Chris Matanda, Stephen McKeown, Harry Jones, and Frankie McCarroll. Holy shit, another friend of mine. 9 points. Hal Pedro to Alvarez and Trent Alexander to Robertson.
This is just Paddy and his extended fucking family,
Jesus,
is it?
Christ. That's a real sidewards move too. Trent Alexander to Robertson. He's such a casual Frank. So anyway, so let's go to see Sack the Scout here. And oh, Jesus Christ, it's Muhibul Islam again. You know, the guy that got 15 points?
Yeah.
So he made 8 transfers at a minus 28.
Okay, well, that explains the...
And he netted himself a minus 37 points. So I'm not going to give it to him because I don't know what's going on there. But Owen Doyle took 2 transfers at a minus 4 and netted himself minus 12 points. He'd done Salah to Son and Nicholas Jackson to Darwin Nunes. So that about wraps up the mini-league there. Jer, some exciting stuff going on there, huh?
Some exciting and some absolutely despicable carry on there.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Paddy, and thank you to everyone in the league. If you do want to join, it's still open for a couple more weeks at least. The code is HUP8K9. The link will be in the descriptions below. If you like what you hear and stuff, like, subscribe, all that kind of usual nonsense. Before I ask you about your captaincy and transfers next week, Paddy, we did get a question this week. Long-time listener and a good friend of the show, Nuclear Adams, he asks, is Trippier really that necessary since Botman proved he can also get bonus points for clean sheets? Trippier, Paddy, tell me.
Well, I mean, I wanted to have Trippier at the start when we were making drafts and that stuff, but I also wanted to have Botman because he's so cheap, and he done me a nice turn last season. You know, I think maybe near the end he was in my team. Always planned to get him. It was just the fixtures weren't great at the time, but now they're starting to swing. I mean, Trippier's got more of a goal threat, assist threat maybe, but...
So Botman, 6.5 versus 4.5.
Yeah, Botman will be going to my team. But then you have Fabian Schär as well, you know, if you want to bring another one into it. 5.5. If you didn't know which one to go, you could just go in between and just pick Schär. But
yeah, but I think you're sitting on the fence here, buddy. Give me an answer.
Fuck it, Botman.
Botman, you're a cheapskate. I fucking knew it.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, what I mean, I agree with you. I think I'm not a cheapskate. I'm
trying to clarify that.
Not like you, Ben. No, but my answer is the same. No, essentially...
Give me 1 second. I need to go to the loo, all right? Sorry to
I'll give my thoughts on Trippier.
Yeah, you give your thoughts there, and I'll be back. Yeah.
But my thoughts on Trippier, while Paddy relieves himself in the most unprofessional manner, is that for 6.5 million... I'm worried that we see more of the Trippier that we saw at the end of last season. Like, I know FPL Adams asks about Botman getting bonus points. I'm like, yeah, I kind of feel like Botman's always been in and around the bonus points if the defense are there. But Trippier was all... excuse me, Paddy. Don't interrupt me just because you finished. But the gist of what I said, Paddy, was that I think based on the form of Trippier at the end of last season... And I remember everyone had him, and he went through such a fucking dry spell.
That's right.
That has not changed, I don't think. Yes, no. I would see that as continued. He hasn't really justified the inflated price tag since the start of the season. So for those reasons, I'm, unless you're doubling up, in which case potentially I could justify a Trippier, I would be aiming at the Batman level. I think 4.5 million is such a friendly price. And yeah, and FLM Adams makes a good observation that he is in the bonus points when Newcastle keep a clean sheet. Shar, he's got that XG that you know, that XG has been hanging over his head for God knows how long. So I'm sure his day will come in. But I'll go basement, I think, 4.5, getting there in the bottom.
Batman for me as well.
All right, there you go. All right, before we hang up, Paddy, tell me who's your captaincy this week. Who's it on? Captaincy from the podcast.
Well, captaincy is going to be Haaland again against Nottingham Forest. You couldn't get a nicer fixture than that. If I was like looking around for a differential captain, I can't fucking see one. Because, I mean, United are playing Burnley, but United are shite. It's Spurs and Arsenal this week, so it kind of rules out any of your Sakas, your Madisons, or your Sons, you know. Yep. And Chelsea are playing Aston Villa. Chelsea can't seem to hit a barn door. And that about really sums up the template players that are on most teams.
What about Mbeumo, home to Everton, on penalties?
Oh, yes, Mbeumo. See, I don't have him, so I wasn't thinking. I don't have him yet, maybe.
Yes, exactly. So,
yeah, that would be probably the next best one, but I'm there's nobody past Haaland.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the question in for the last season and 5 weeks of Fantasy Premier League has been, what is the captaincy outside of Haaland? Because he's the obvious one. And I'm with you. This week, it'll take something serious happening tonight in the Champions League for me to move the airband off him. But there are fixtures here to target anyone, especially looking at long-term stuff. I think Liverpool, West Ham, that could be an interesting one. It's one to monitor for anyone kind of looking at maybe jumping onto the likes of a Salah. But yeah, captaincy, it's going to stick with Haaland all day. Okay, Paddy, where can everyone find you this week?
They can get me at FPLViking_ on Twitter and the Viking Dippers on Instagram. And where can we get you, Jer?
It's at FPL Hangover on Twitter and FPL Hangover on Instagram as well. So if you enjoy what you heard or you want to reach out to us, you can get us there. Links will be in the description below. Make sure to like, subscribe, all the usual jazz. Paddy, any final thoughts before I
100% some final thoughts? I want to ask you, who do you think the top five most transferred players are out this week?
Top five most transferred out this week. So yes. Watkins, he's up there.
No,
because he dropped in price last night, so I assumed he was up there. I don't know, just tell me.
Right, okay. Jackson is number one.
Obvious.
Isak is number two. Chilwell is number three. Oof. Solly March is fourth. And Rashford is fifth. Always find that so interesting.
It kind of is. It is. Especially, you know, we get so wrapped up in our bubbles or Twitter and X bubbles, whatever.
Exactly. And then there's the big real world out there of managers that are just like fucking players out, you know, binning them.
Yeah, going on. Marsh didn't play this week. Fuck him. And again, all could be really good decisions there.
Yeah, and all could change. And what we will give the advice is don't make any transfers yet because we've got Champions League to go through.
And Europa League on Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
Brighton and Villa. Do you know what I mean? Like, it usually doesn't really matter, but there's actually quite a few British teams, you know, floating around this week.
100%. And that moves them to the top five transfers in this week. Come on, you'll get
don't do it, but here's the top three chances in. Yeah.
Let's do it. Give us one or two.
So Alvarez, he's gotta be up there. Yeah, Alvarez is up there. Whoever did Salah, is he getting traction?
Yeah.
I'd also guess the likes of Trippier or like
Came over, you got two. Shit. That's 3 out of 5. So Alvarez is the top transfer in with 445,000 managers bringing them in. And remember, this is only Tuesday.
Yeah.
So there's going to be probably a lot more, and this could change. Botman is second, which is...
I said Botman after Trippier.
Ward-Prowse is third, which blew my mind a bit.
Really? He's been turning heads.
I know, but he's the fifth. He's in the top five most transferred in players. Mbeumo, he's ahead of Mbeumo. And then Salah is fifth. So that's your top five transfers. And before we go, Jer, who are you transferring? Are you keeping both your Manchester United players, or what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm going to go Son to Mbeumo this week. And that's it. Pocket the cash. I'm pretty happy with the team. Keep the two United players. Keep the two United players. So, as I said, yeah, Son to Mbeumo. I'll keep Saka as he's got some nice fixtures. Next week, then, I'll turn my 4.5, the Sheffield United lad, into Morris. So I'll have him for the double game week 7. And wildcard, either 8 or 9 or...
Sounds good. We're kind of doing the same. Like, I'm thinking Spurs player out, Madison's going out, and we'll come in Mbeumo. So it could be celebrating in Mbeumo goals this weekend, maybe.
Yeah, you're copying me. I get it.
Yeah. I said it first.
Okay.
Who's ahead of who here?
Let's not get into it. We'll see who's ahead of who at the end of the season. That's all.
Who's ahead of who?
With that, folks, we'll leave it there because we're about to scrap. Thanks for checking in, and enjoy game week 6, and most importantly,
God bless.